good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are and whenever you're listening. I want to congratulate you on taking steps towards bettering yourself and furthering your career in real estate. Today, we are joined by Sherry Riano. What's up, Sherry?
Yeah, living a great day. How about you?
Well, and we are also joined by Chris Brazell. What's up, Chris?
Hunter, how you doing, Sherry? How you doing?
I'm good, good.
This is actually the first episode that has Chris and Sherry together. We usually have someone of the older, I mean, the more experienced generation in
I'm
the-
sorry, we- I've got to get my foot out of a certain area. I'll be back in a moment.
We usually have one of the two of them on, but we've never had both of them on before. And I think today is a perfect episode to have them both on just because of the topic we're going to be discussing. They saw pre and post 2008 lending. And so they can speak to what it's like now versus what it was like before. And so if you haven't put it together yet, we are, of course, talking about Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, the mortgage gods that be. These two entities affect almost every loan we do, and even the ones we don't have to go through them with. Those loan options are there because of Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac in the first place. Mm. So without hyping this up anymore, let's kind of just talk about pre-2008 versus post-2008 Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. Sherry, Chris, take it over.
Well, they're both large companies that guarantee most of the mortgages in the United States. Together, they're known as the government-sponsored enterprises. We call that the GSEs. So, you know, they were private companies operated with the government's permission and under the government's regularization. Ooh, I can't talk today. Gonna be one of them days. So, you know, I can speak to a lot. I know Chris can too, but let's just talk about before the crash of 2008.
Yeah.
Man, we were writing mortgages. And this is no lie. And I remember doing this back in 2005, where we basically, if you had a pulse, you could get a mortgage.
That's nuts.
If you could breathe, you could borrow.
You had a credit score. You needed this credit score.
The credit score was it.
Yep. We were doing nanas. No income, no assets. Didn't know where your money was coming from. Of course, right. You know, all of that great stuff, which, you know, was very scary.
CIFA, stated income, fixed assets. CISA, stated income, stated assets.
You name it, it was out there.
Those were the wild, wild west.
Just nuts. Yeah. I mean,
what Washington Mutual's product? This was a great product.
Yeah.
Yeah. You could just, you had three options of how to make your mortgage payment. I mean, you could pay interest only. Pay principal and interest, and then there was some kind of deferred thing they were doing. I don't know. No wonder they went belly up fast. But I remember sitting in a room with a bunch of LOs. I think it was about 2006, and we were like, "This cannot continue. Something's going."
So even you knew before, like even before the regulations, even before the guidelines, you knew like this is not a sustainable method. Like
we
this
knew.
Is coming
yeah.
to
and
a
they
head.
Knew.
Yeah.
And what I loved about it is when it all shook out. The loan officer was the bad guy. We weren't the bad guy.
Oh, The Big Short, man. That's the movie about
it. If you look at, while the Wall Street entities and the banks gave us the products to sell, or we wouldn't have been able to sell them.
Yeah, that's right.
We didn't create them. We didn't back them. We didn't have the money to bag them. And, but, you know, they were out there and they were pushing us. I remember, you know, early on in my career, I mean, they'd give us extra money for selling that type
that's
of
right.
loan.
That's right. They would.
That's nuts.
You could put points on the front, points on the back, and they wanted you to sell those products because everybody was making money at the time.
Mm-hmm. So if you're a loan officer that got into the game after 2008, I personally was graduating high school in 2008. So, you know, if you are one of those
isn't,
of
my that, clients, isn't that special?
Hearing this just kind of blows your mind that, like, you know, because we're so regulated on how many points we can charge, when we can charge and when we can't, what has to be titled, especially in North Carolina, what's loan origination, what's discount points. This kind of stuff just kind of blows your mind. But let's talk about loan guarantees, like loans meeting certain criteria and what that means for Fannie and Freddie. And why do we have two entities in the first place? Why not just one?
Yeah. So let me talk about that for a minute. So Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, they came up, you know, Dodd-Frank was the congressman back in, what was it, 2010, 2012?
Yeah, Dodd-Frank, too.
Dodd-Frank, yep. And they set the regulations. And the regulations were set back then. And Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, they're the ones who followed the regulations and endorsed these loans. They basically said that if you follow these guidelines, you can sell this commodity on the open market as a mortgage-backed security. And so what they did was they said, in order to sell this loan on the open market, you had to follow certain rules and regulations, which it all boils down to the ability to repay the mortgage. Meaning, I don't care if you have $1 million and $1 million in the bank, make $1 million a year. You have to prove that you have the ability to repay this mortgage. And so everybody has to follow those guidelines now. And that's what's set forth. And that's the ability for us to sell these loans on the open market that is backed by Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. And that boils it down. And so that's why everybody swims in the same pool now. We all have to sell these loans on the open market, and we all have to follow the same rules and regulations that were set forth after the housing crash in 2008 and 2010. Yeah.
And each of them has a little bit of nuances to them. Like certain, like Freddie Mac offers certain products that Fannie Mae won't allow.
Correct.
Fannie Mae allow certain things that Freddie Mac won't. What do you see, or maybe you don't, but like when you look at like a Freddie Mac underwriting versus a Fannie Mae underwriting, do you see any differences in what they're maybe looser with the goose with on this or that?
What I find is how much volume they can hold.
Yeah.
Because they mm-hmm. tighten guidelines and loosen guidelines by the flow of the business they have.
Exactly.
So if they're, you know, they get backed up on a certain product, you know, they might tighten up on that guideline. We've seen it happen time and time again. You'll have a 780 credit score that can't get approved on Fannie, and you flip it to Freddie and it gets approved.
Yep.
You know, it just depends. And again, it could be vice versa. I don't think one's greater than the other, but they do have very distinctive products under themselves that are not duplicated out of, you know, each other.
Mm-hmm.
So I find that that's always interesting. And it gives us more options to mm-hmm. do things creatively, again, within the guidelines that are dictated through that.
Yeah. I think a couple years ago, I would have said that Fannie Mae was my more preferred underwriting, just a little bit easier to get through. She was just, she allowed a little bit wider net than Freddie would. But I feel like over the past couple of years, we've seen less waivers with Fannie and more with Freddie, like just kind of switched roles there. And also some things that Fannie Mae just spits out absolutely no on,
mm-hmm.
Freddie Mac accepts. So it's kind of I just feel like, you know, things have switched. Maybe they're tweaked a little bit too much for Fannie right now. And like you said, maybe it's just the influx that Fannie received because of those things.
And yep. This is my personal opinion only. I think Fannie Mae's underwriting system and initial approval is so much easier to read than Freddie's.
Heck yes.
I don't know why Freddie's has always been complicated. I think that's why most loan officers will lean to Fannie over Freddie, because Fannie's very precise. It's very clear. You meet this guideline, you meet this guideline, you've done this, you've done that, you're good to go. It just, sometimes with Freddie, it's almost a Greek interpretation.
Yeah, it looks like a lawyer wrote it.
Uh-huh.
Like it's jargony.
And so with Fannie Mae being more user-friendly, more loans go there. And so, mm-hmm. like Sherry was saying, when they get an influx of business, you'll see those screws tightening, and then you got to send it to Freddie and start reading that Greek and figuring it out.
Yeah.
We all like to do things a little bit easier. We're all busy. We all move quick. And Fannie Mae being more user-friendly, sometimes it means that they get a little bit more of that business.
And mm-hmm. That's it. And I do think also with Freddie Mac in the past, you know, even with pricing loans and stuff like that, certain investors would give a little bit more on a Freddie Mac investing or a pricing, because it was just a little bit harder to get approved. Now I think they're balancing out a little bit more. I do think I still get a little bit more income and asset waivers with Freddie than I see
yes.
with Fannie Mae. But I mean, you know, there's a give and take on that.
We got a loan right now that we're working on where literally Fannie Mae would not take an appraisal waiver on it. Got one with Freddie. And so we're going with Freddie because we got that appraisal waiver.
Absolutely. Just, saved the client $600.
Same house, same criteria, same borrower. Fannie Mae did not want it. Freddie Mac said, yeah, we'll take it.
Yeah.
So let's go.
All day. And, you know, we can't really talk about Fannie and Freddie without talking about what we have now because of Fannie and Freddie, which are non-QM loans. Those loans that seem a little bit more wild west and pre-2008 that we have at our disposal now. We've done a few episodes. We actually did a little series on non-QM loans earlier in the show. So if you'd ever like to hear more about that, I'd encourage you to listen to that. There's a lot of good information with DSCR loans. That's the no income based on appraised rent schedule with the appraisal just to qualify the loan. We've got 1099, just looking at 1099 qualifying income. There's a lot of good stuff there. Asset
depletion. Yep.
Really good.
Yeah. But I'm going to say this. Ain't nobody going to want to hear it because I ain't going to like it. But here we go again. You know, here we go again. If I ain't got to prove my ability to be able to repay the mortgage, here we go again. And those products, they're cute. They used to be subprime products. Mm-hmm. So now we made a new name for them called non-QM. Whatever.
It's more professional.
It does.
You know, what I do believe is the difference is that we have lack of inventory now. Yeah. So before in 2008, we did not have that problem. So when all these products started turning over, right, there was nobody to buy them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I think that even if we went through, God, I hope we never see it again, but if they did have some increases in foreclosures, and by the way, we haven't had increases in foreclosures, but if we start seeing them, the potential for people to go out and buy are there. Absolutely.
Yep.
Because there's so many first-time home buyers that they don't have anywhere to go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So when I say that, I don't say it like all gloom and doom because I don't feel that way. And people ask me all the time, well, when's the next bus coming? And I don't think it's coming.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Until we start building a lot more houses, we get these big Wall Street corporations out of buying whole neighborhoods,
yep,
which is just wrong. And the congressman, anybody out here listening to me, y'all need to do something.
Please.
Please. Which I know actually there is talk and we are one of the states that's talking about put a hold on them. Yep. I think we should. We're just running the first time home buyer out of the market.
Yep.
Yeah. In addition to that, you also have just an influx in our state, specifically North Carolina, of high equity borrowers, where you're seeing a lot of people putting 50, 60, 70% down, if not paying in cash. One of the statistics I read for February of this year, one in every three transactions was a cash deal in North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
That's huge.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's a ton of equity in the
literally
market.
Literally talked to an agent this morning, exactly what she said. You know, we talked to them, we tried to direct them, you know, to our preferred lenders. And a lot of times they're just looking to sell the house wherever they're coming from. Mm-hmm. They've got enough to pay in cash and just pay in cash.
Yeah. And these are also the borrowers that did live through the early 2000s.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of people are scared of that. And so they were bit back then,
yeah,
you know, no matter what, everybody was a little bit, you know, influenced or affected by what happened in 2008, 2010. So those borrowers now, they're selling a house. They have a lot of equity in the house because of the appreciation and they don't want to get into the mess of Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac and the mortgages again. So the cash borrowers, high down payment borrowers, things like that. So
you think about the people that were in California back then,
yep,
Arizona, Florida,
yep,
I mean, just a Florida, few of the they were just majorly hit.
Yes.
I mean, they were coming out 50, 60, 70% upside down.
Yep.
You know, looking at that thing, their only option they felt in their mind was to walk away.
Mm-hmm.
Which is why Fannie and Freddie are such a needed,
yes,
overseer.
Absolutely.
Because they're there to protect the borrower. They don't want the borrower to be in a situation. There are situations where Chris and I and Sherry and Jeff, we look at it alone. We're like, I can't figure out why this thing ain't passing underwriting, but there is something about it, whether it's the front end ratio where the housing expense is too high, not enough reserves, where we just can't get it through Fannie and Freddie. And what the entity is saying is there's a high level of risk here. We are putting the borrower at risk if we give them this loan. So we have to tweak it. We have to either change a program, put more money down, something like that. And we have to come up with a solution.
Yeah,
that's exactly right.
And that's where we come into play as experienced loan officers. We know how to, we don't give up. We see the denial, let's call it, but it's not, you know, it's a refer is what we call it in the business. But if we get that, you know, you talk to us, we'll figure out solutions on it and we'll get you,
we'll
figure it out. That's right. We don't get, no is a step one in the process. It's a step one in figuring out a solution.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
Absolutely.
Well, look, this has been great. This has been an episode on Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. If you'd like to know more about these entities and how they're affecting your borrowers, please reach out to us. Our number is 919-234-7415. That number is answered 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. 364 days a year. Not Christmas.
No, we don't do Christmas.
We don't do Christmas.
I don't want Christmas.
This has been Mortgage Mindset. We are here every Wednesday. If you'd like to be a guest on the show, please reach out to us. We'd love to have you on.
Thanks. You need to be a guest on the show. This is a fun show.
That's right. Call us.
Bye. The Mortgage Mindset podcast is hosted by the Sherry Riona team at Clear Mortgage, powered by City First Mortgage Services, LLC. Sherry Riona's NMLS ID is 71774. Visit us at thesherryrionateam.com for more information about our team.
The opinions expressed on this show by the hosts and their guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Clear Mortgage or City First Mortgage Services. Please note that Clear Mortgage is powered by City First Mortgages LLC and their NMLS ID is 3117. Clear Mortgage and City First Mortgage Services is not an agency of the federal government and is not acting on behalf of or the direction of HUD FHA. City First Mortgage Services is an equal housing lender. Programs, rates, and terms subject to change without notice. Underwriting terms and conditions apply.